Buying or selling real estate can be stressful. After all, it's not any old house we're talking about. It's your home. So when it's time to buy or sell, you want to make sure your search is in capable hands. That's why we turn to Angie Cole and the team at A. Cole Realty. You've seen Angie featured on HGTV's House Hunters. Realtor Magazine named her one of the top realtors in the country. And Just Ask Us, the numbers back her up. So listen up as we cover all the ins and outs of buying and selling a home here in the Triangle. It's time for The Savvy Realtor with Angie Cole.
Well, thanks for joining us this week on The Savvy Realtor. I'm Walter Storholt alongside Angie Cole. She is the owner and broker in charge of A. Cole Realty, serving you throughout the Triangle. And you can get in touch with Angie at any point in time during our show today by visiting online to acolerealty.com or by calling or texting Angie at 919-538-6477. That'll send you right directly to Angie, and you can have a conversation or set up a time to talk a little bit about buying or selling a home potentially. 919-538-6477. You've seen Angie on HGTV's House Hunters, featured in Zillow.com as a five-star agent, all five-star ratings, pretty cool. And Angie and her team helped more than 191 families last year buy or sell a home in the area. Angie, great to see you this week. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much.
Looking forward to our conversation today. We're going to talk about some of those important terms that you need to know when it comes to real estate. We did this last week. We hit a couple. There was no way we could get through all the ones that we had listed, so we're going to hit some more. We're calling it part two of looking at all these important terms to know in real estate. So we'll talk about, you know, what to really look for in the walkthrough. What is that? What should you really be on the lookout for before you close on that home? What's a settlement statement? Why is that important for you to know as a buyer and a seller? And fair market value. How is that determined? Some of these terms can sometimes seem a little complex, but it's important to figure these things out, right, Angie?
For sure.
And so we'll talk about those on today's show. Plus, we'll have the mortgage moment, a success story, listing of the week, lots of other great stuff on the way, too. But first, usually we start out at the beginning of the show by discussing kind of like what's going on in the market, but we're going to change things up a little bit today, and we're going to give you what we like to call the tip of the week. And this is a service that Angie is offering where she will text you little tidbits. We like to say they're items and pieces of information that are too long for a tweet but too short for a full blog post. So we're able to just kind of text you a link and you can read it in 30 seconds, a little tip about real estate each and every week. And we'll tell you in a minute how you can subscribe to that service. But Angie, what would be your radio version of this week's tip of the week?
Yeah, so this week's tip of the week, we had discussed about pre-due diligence. Okay, so of course, during due diligence, once you officially have an executed contract, you know, the buyer has their option to do a due diligence check. So that timeline can vary, I would say on average, maybe 2 to 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. But during the time of due diligence, of course, is the time that the buyer would typically order inspections. You know, they get their appraisal. They do whatever they need to do to really dig deep to make sure that this is the right home for them. But I highly recommend do your own pre-due diligence. And what that means is before you even make an offer on the home, look in the crawl space, see if there's any standing water, peek in the attic, maybe there's some rodents or bats. I've had a couple of cases of bats lately we've come across. You know, look up, look down, make sure that there's no major foundation cracks, maybe a water spot on the ceiling. You know, go ahead and look for those items so you can ask the seller, hey, what is this from? You know, what extra information can you give me? Because it's best to know up front exactly what you're about to make an offer on. Just because, remember, once you come to an agreement on an offer, you have an executed contract, immediately you have money at risk if you've handed over due diligence money. And it will be very upsetting if you've, you know, you find something on the inspection report that's really major that makes you, you know, retract your offer and terminate. If, you know, it'd be, I guess, in a better position if you could have already found those items up front, so you never even went down that route. And so that's why it's always important to go ahead and do your pre-due diligence, which your real estate agent should help you with this as well, because it's best to get all your questions answered and also to, you know, make important items part of your offer in the beginning.
And your realtor can help kind of guide you on what's a big deal, what's not a big deal. Hey,
of course,
there's a swimming pool in the basement or in the crawl space.
Right.
That's a big negative, and your realtor might be able to kind of look at it with you and say, yeah, I have an expert. We should get them to look at this before we, you know, put an offer on the home. Or you're talking about repairs of thousands of dollars to fix this versus, well, you know, it's got, maybe there are bats in the ceiling and it's just as simple as, well, you're just going to have to get somebody from pest control to probably get those out. It's probably not a hundred, you know, hundreds or even thousands of dollars type of repair. And then you can make a better decision.
Like, I've seen situations where, you know, there's been, you hear of like the glass, like your windows, like losing their seal, okay, and fogging up. I've had situations where I've gone through a home and before making an offer, we started counting and there was a good 10 plus windows that had lost their seal. Well, that was very important to the buyer. So we made that as part of the offer. And the reason being, if we hold off and we wait until our due diligence period, once we're officially under contract, even though we request those to be replaced and fixed by the seller, seller can say no.
You've really lost your bargaining power at that
100%.
Point.
And remember with the North Carolina offer to purchase, you know, the contract reads that the home is being sold as is. Mm-hmm. Although it is understood that both buyers and sellers are typically negotiable when it comes to repairs, something as lofty as, you know, 10 windows needing replacement, you should go ahead and make that part of your offer and don't go into the offer just expecting for the seller to agree to it during due diligence period. So yeah, really do your pre-due diligence. And so that was our tip of the week this past Wednesday that came across for anyone who has already signed up for our tip of the week. And if you want to continue to receive our tip of the week, you know, which we will send out every single Wednesday, it's as simple as texting the word SMART to the phone number 555-888. So once again, if you want to receive our real estate tip of the week, text the word SMART to the phone number 555-888.
And you'll get that every Wednesday when that tip goes out. All you have to do is text the word SMART to the number 555-888. You'll also get a tip right away when you text that number. SMART to the number 555-888. You can go ahead and read one tip right off the bat. And then every Wednesday, you'll get a new tip. Very easy to read. They're quick. They're easy. They're great reminders of some things you should be thinking about when it comes to buying or selling a home, especially here in the Triangle. So one more time, if you want to get the tip of the week from Angie Cole and the team at A. Cole Realty, just text the word SMART to the number 555-888. Well, we're going to take some of your questions now here on the Savvy Realtor. If you'd like to submit a question to be featured on the show, you can go to Angie's website to do that, acolerealty.com. And our first question is from Tank in Raleigh. Tank says, I want to make sure I'm getting a home that's a good value. Price per square foot seems like a good measure of that. What's a reasonable price per square foot to look for in our area?
So Tank, first of all, super cool name. I love it.
It is awesome.
Yeah, that is.
This he's probably like 5'2 and 125 pounds.
Oh,
and,
I don't.
You know, with the name
he's
Tank.
He's going to be upset that you just said that, right?
No, I'm just kidding.
He's a beastly man. So Tank, unfortunately, I don't have a straightforward answer for you. And the reason being, I know you're in Raleigh, but Raleigh is a big area, as you're well aware. And price per square footage can really vary from location to location. So, you know, are you in downtown Raleigh? Are you in Mordecai? Are you at Cameron Village? Are you at North Hills? You know, are we in South Raleigh, East Raleigh? You know, where are you located? That's really going to decide kind of what the average price per square foot, you know, where we should be at. Also, even if you are in a neighborhood, say you're in Highland Creek of Raleigh, and in Highland Creek, there can be townhomes, there can be single family homes. Mm-hmm. The price per square foot of a townhome versus a single family is not going to be comparable. Also, if you have a single family, maybe we have a single family home in Highland Creek, which is 2,000 square feet, and then there's another home in Highland Creek, which is 4,000 square feet. The price per square foot, even if they look like the exact same home, but they're just different in square footage, those will be different because typically the higher we go up in square footage, the less price per square foot we get on that home. It's not a dollar per square footage direct relationship or ratio. And so that's a really hard question to answer. And I know I really beat it around the bush on that one, Tank, but there's just not a straightforward answer for it. And, you know, if you're maybe thinking about selling your home, so you're trying to understand the value of your home and where I think the price per square foot should be for your particular home, of course, I would love to give you some further information on that and set up an appointment with you. And a great way to get started is you can actually inquire about the value of your home. And it's as simple as texting the word listing to the phone number 555-888. a quick text will be sent back to you, click the link, and then it's going to ask for your address. And from there, an automated value will be sent to you. So it's a great way to get started to understand the value of your home. You can just text the word listing to the phone number 555-888.
That's helpful. And so get the information about your own home, and that'll at least give you a starting point of where you currently live. You can kind of get an idea or a picture, because ultimately, if you're looking for a new home, maybe you're thinking of selling your current home, get an idea of your current cost per square foot by texting the word listing to the number 555-888, and then that'll at least give you a starting point. But yeah, that seems like a really difficult thing to measure. But if people are looking for a good deal, you know, they want to just make sure they're getting good value, maybe that's the most important. You know, hey, I'm a cost conscientious shopper, I want to get the best value possible. What other metrics do you help use to find that out?
I mean, that's going to be the biggie. It's okay. We need to pull comparables, you know, for your specific area, and from there I can tell you if you're getting a good deal on the home per se.
Okay. So it's more about the comparables and not so much on just looking at the numbers
not
on
just
one particular house.
Price per square foot. You know, in areas, you know, maybe in Harnett County versus Wake County. Harnett County, you could be at maybe $100 per square foot or below. But then there's parts in like Raleigh and downtown, $220 a square foot plus. You know, mm-hmm. So there's not really, it's not a straightforward answer again.
Yeah. Yep. It's a tough one, Tank, but a good question nonetheless, and probably one that a lot of people do think about and ask, and that's a really an interesting thought for sure. If you would like to get that value of your home that does tell you what your cost per square foot would be and lots of other metrics and details as well. Also, by the way, this will keep you up to date with the value of your home. As it changes, you'll get updates when that happens. All you have to do is text the word listing to the number 555-888. Click on the link and fill out your home's information. Another great question here from Deb in Wake Forest. Deb says, we want to buy a house that has 3 bedrooms, but also want to have another room for a home office. What's the best way to search for a house like that? Look at 4-bedroom ones so we know for sure it has the extra room, but then are we losing out on some great 3-bedroom homes? I'm just not sure how to construct a search for something like that.
So Deb, this is actually a really good question, and it's something I discuss with buyer specialists when they join my team, just to talk about, you know, let's not put too much information into our search because we could actually lose out on some really great listings. Mm-hmm. So for example, you know, you mentioned you want definitely 3 bedrooms, but also another room for a home office. Well, my thoughts are a home office could mean that there was a bonus room that could be used as a home office, maybe an actual office, maybe a formal living room. So there's many different locations within a home and a floor plan that could be utilized as an office. And
what's your definition of a home office? Maybe all you need is a nook.
Yeah, that is very true. You know, and so with doing your search, I would only put in the minimum requirement of a 3-bedroom. And the reason being, so for example, if you look or do a search for only a 4-bedroom home, it would delete out any of the 3 bedrooms that include a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
So you're putting in that minimum requirement that it must be labeled as a 4-bedroom, where a lot of agents market their listings as 3 bedrooms plus a bonus.
Right.
Does that make sense? So, you know, definitely, you know, stay with the minimum requirements when you're doing a search, just to make sure that you're able to have all of your options sent to you.
And I guess if you look at homes long enough, you can also start to deduce by square footage what's going to likely have enough space for an office. You know, if it's a 3-bedroom home and it's only, you know, 1,200 square feet, then it's probably unlikely that it's also got a full-sized office, if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
So then you could kind of use that maybe to set a minimum there too?
I agree with you there. You know, maybe you would say, hey, at minimum, I want the square footage. That's correct. You know, it's not always the case,
right. But
you're probably right. You know, at a certain square footage, the home probably could not have a floor plan of 3 bedrooms plus an office.
Right.
You know, there's just only so much space in that home. But yeah, I would definitely focus on your minimum requirements. And although you'll be feeding through each listing and it takes a little bit longer because you will receive more listings, I would rather that to happen than for you to miss out on a wonderful home because it did not meet your minimum requirements.
Bottom line, Deb, it sounds like it's totally worth the extra effort, which it sounds like you're trying to make sure you're not overspending on the effort, but also not missing out on the listings. It's worth it, the little extra effort to look through those pictures to make sure you're not losing out on good listings.
Yeah, and that's our job as a buyer specialist, is to do that research for you. You know, for example, we have, you know, buyers who say, all right, I want 3 bedrooms minimum, but I must have a bonus and I cannot stand white cabinets. Well, of course, there is no way for me to put in my search criteria. Right. I do not like white cabinets. So we have to physically go through the pictures and we delete out any homes that have white cabinets. So just like this scenario, Deb, it's our job and it takes our time. And that's what our role is to feed through the listings and only send you listings that actually meet your criteria. So we ask you what your minimum requirements are, but from there we can really get specific and weed through and only send you great listings that fit your needs.
Great question, Deb. And if you want to get some help buying or selling your home here in the Triangle, reach out to Angie Cole and her team. You can call or text Angie right now at 919-538-6477. Again, that's 919-538-6477. Angie can talk to you a little about buying a home, selling a home here in the area, some of the things to think about, and set you up with personalized service. All you have to do is reach out, 919-538-6477, 919-538-6477. Call or text that number. You're listening to The Savvy Realtor with Angie Cole, the owner and broker in charge of A. Cole Realty, serving you not only in Raleigh, but all the surrounding areas here in the Triangle as well. And Sherry in Fuquay Varina has a good question for you this week, Angie. Sherry says, we want to buy a home that we can lease out the basement or perhaps a room that has its own entrance or a mother-in-law detached area. What is there to know about searching for homes that will be our permanent residence, but also that we're trying to turn into an income property in the process?
So, Sherry, I feel like this is kind of similar to Deb's question in the sense of we do not want to be too specific when it comes to narrowing down our search. For example, my idea of, you know, having a separate area for income property, you know, it could be a room above a garage. You know, right. With a completely separate access, you know, maybe it's detached or attached, but there could be a room up there with maybe a little kitchenette and a bathroom. There could also be a space in the basement, like you mentioned,
right,
with its own private entrance. You know, I currently have a home on the market where there is a full kitchen down in the basement.
Oh, that's
cool. It's a true in-law suite. You know, there's also the multi-generation homes. That's kind of a new fad right now, which is a great option. And that's almost two homes in one, in a sense. You're still connected, but you're able to turn off or close up the separate areas from each other. So maybe, you know, if I wanted my parents to come and live with me, they have their own kitchen. You know, they have their own little laundry room. So they have their own space, but we're still connected. And then another option, too, is by actually searching for a mother-in-law suite. So be careful, Sherry, when you're doing your search, not to narrow down your search too much.
Yeah.
You know, for example, one of the feature boxes in our MLS database is mother-in-law suite. There is basement, you know, but if you narrow it down by it must include a mother-in-law suite, your options are going to be very, very minimal.
Because now you're going to lose out on the above the garage places and that kind of thing.
And I honestly, I don't even think there's an option, and I don't hold me to this, but I don't think there's even an option for an above the garage, you know, separate space or living space. So it's one of those situations you might need to do a little bit more searching, you know, weeding through all the listings that come, you know, your way. But that is the best way to do the search for kind of a second income property. I've also seen other people who, you know, had the idea of buying a duplex.
Right.
They live in one, and then the other one is strictly an income property. And with the duplex, I mean, the great, you know, feature about that is, although you're maybe connected by a shared wall, it is completely two separate, you know, living spaces.
Right.
You do not have to at all be even connected, or there's no access to get to the, you know, main living area. So that could be a great option as well.
Yep, absolutely. And maybe that's the question you need to ask yourself to start with is, do you want to share a wall with that income property or that with that tenant? So would you mostly prefer an above the garage thing that would shape your search one way, or are you okay with the basement, or, you know, having that more attached style? It's lots of different directions that can take you in.
And another question to ask yourself too is, how long do I plan on staying in this home? Because you know, when we're looking for a specific property like this, automatically your amount of buyers that would be interested in this, you know, specific type of property, that pool of buyers will lessen.
Right.
And so, you know, although that's what you're looking for now because you're thinking about the income stream, it might be tougher to resell in the future. I had a listing which we, you know, we've now closed, thank goodness, but it took a while to get it under contract. We actually closed on it 2 weeks ago. But the reason why it took so long to get under contract is although people loved the home when they went through, they said, you know what, this basement's great, but we wouldn't use this full entire kitchen. It just doesn't work for us and our family. So to them, they were paying a premium on the home for something they wouldn't use.
Gotcha.
So that's something to think about. So maybe instead of going the route of having kind of an income within the home, maybe it's a better idea to actually just buy a completely separate secondary or investment property.
Right.
So that's an option too.
For your situation, that might make the most sense.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So if you are thinking about buying a home, you know, it's always a great idea to understand the processes, you know, even before you start looking. And then once you go under a contract, is always be in the know and be one step ahead. And that's our job, you know, as a real estate agent, when we are representing you and protecting you, is to always be one step ahead of the process. But we have this downloadable contract guide that you can actually receive on your smartphone. And it's as simple as texting the word contract to the phone number 555-888. So if you want to receive the home buying guide, which is also a great resource if you're looking to sell a home, because it goes from start to finish and it talks about all the terminology, just the steps and the processes, you can text the word contract to the phone number 555-888.
All you do in the message field is put the word contract, and then the number that you text is 555-888. Click send, and then a link will be sent right to you, and you can click on that link, and it'll take you to a page that shows you that buying guide, and you can then even download it to your phone if you'd like. All you have to do is text the word contract to the number 555-888 and get that guide about learning about the home buying process. Very useful tool. All you have to do is text the word contract to the number 555-888. Great questions from our listeners on the Savvy Realtor today. Stay right there. There's much more coming up, including the neighborhood spotlight and important terms that you need to know when it comes to buying or selling a home here in the Triangle. All that and more right around the corner. Stay right there.
Let's shine a little light on some of the Triangle's best areas right here on the Neighborhood Spotlight.
Well, this is the part of the show on the Savvy Realtor where we feature a great neighborhood here in the Triangle, one that maybe you've heard about, but we'll give you all the details and maybe some pieces of information you haven't heard. Or my favorite part about this is getting to learn about new places that I've never driven through or researched or learned about. So, Angie, where are you taking us this week?
So we are staying in Raleigh. Okay. It's actually about 7 minutes north of my office off of Creedmoor Road. So the neighborhood spotlight is Traymore Manor. And so this is just north on Creedmoor Road, right past Strickland Road. You will then take a right on a Bailiwick Road, and then it's there on the right. So it's just right underneath 540.
Okay.
Gorgeous, gorgeous neighborhood. All custom-built homes in a kind of a higher price point bracket. But, you know, it's one of those neighborhoods where it is developed. We have a lot of just lavish landscaping. I mean, the views and the yards are absolutely gorgeous. This neighborhood has been here for a little while, so it's definitely grown up in a sense that you don't feel like it's, you know, just a flat ground where, you know, from recent builders, which a lot of them do, unfortunately. But yeah, a very stable neighborhood. And a little bit about this neighborhood. So in the last year, there has been 9 closed homes, and there's currently 4 active homes. So not a lot of turnover. They kind of come and go. As far as price point, they're ranging from about $730 to up about $950 or so, you know, is what we've seen in the last year. So like I mentioned, a higher bracket as far as price point goes. And then I actually just listed a home in this neighborhood at 10512 Charmford Way, which has an amazing saltwater pool. You must see this pool. It is, I mean, gorgeous and amazing. Oh my goodness. Yeah. We're 4225 square feet and at 800,000. So beautiful neighborhood, like I mentioned, custom built and just in a prime location. Hop right on to 540, maybe a 10 to 12 minute down to Crabtree Valley Mall. And so just a spectacular location with beautiful homes.
Very cool neighborhood this week at Traymore Manor. Gorgeous spot. You've got the elementary school right around the corner. The Bailiwick Road Park is right there. Baseball, lots of green space. So just a really neat location, close to everything, including the highway. Very, very cool spot, Angie.
For sure, yeah. And, you know, like I mentioned, we just listed a home in this neighborhood. And, you know, it's one of those neighborhoods that I love going to and, you know, viewing properties and viewing homes because they're just gorgeous. And if you are thinking about selling your home in this neighborhood or maybe the surrounding areas and you want to get a good feel of the value of your home, a great way to get started is you can text the word listing to the phone number 555-888. From there, a quick text will be sent to you. Click the link, input your address, and you will get an automated value of your home. Once again, it's a great way to get started. You know, if you want a more exact, accurate number, I would love to set up an actual listing appointment with you. But just to understand kind of a range of the value of your home that's selling within your neighborhood, you can text the word listing to the phone number 555-888.
And again, all you have to do is take out your smartphone and just type in the message field the word listing and send that to the number 555-888. Again, just text the word listing to the number 555-888, and we'll make sure that we send right back to you that link so that you can type in your home's information and get the value, estimated value of your home. It takes about 30 seconds to do it all, not long at all. All you do is text the word listing to the number 555-888. Stay right there. More information coming up on today's edition of The Savvy Realtor with Angie Cole.
Reviews are important when it comes to choosing any kind of service in the Triangle. Real estate is no different. So here's another snippet of an online review of Angie Cole and the A. Cole Realty team.
From a home sale in Wake Forest. Angie sold my house in just 2 weeks. It had been on the market for 7 months before we hired her.
That's another five-star review for A. Cole Realty. Are you buying or selling a home in the Triangle? Have a conversation with Angie Cole right now about how their team can help you. Call or text 919-538-6477. That is 919-538-6477. Who knows? You might be the next one to leave a five-star review. Call or text right now to talk with Angie. 919-538-6477.
It's time to get to know your savvy realtor just a bit better.
Well, this part of the show we like to call Getting to Know You, and it's where we not only learn about the real estate world, but about your realtor here in the Triangle. Of course, she's Angie Cole, and this is where we just asked her sort of a random question, find out a little bit more about her personality, and I hope you have a good story for this one, Angie. You don't have to reveal whether this is with your husband or not, but tell us about the worst date you've ever been on. And I hope it's with your husband, but I'm guessing maybe not.
My husband might kill me if I say that he was the worst date that I've ever been on. So no, it's not my husband. But I went on this date where it was from online dating, which I'm not, you know, pushing down online dating at all. I dated a guy for 2.5 years that I met from online dating. So I'm all for it. You
know, probably changed a lot since you met your husband. I mean, it's not like you've done it recently.
Back in the day when I did the online dating, all my friends looked at me like I was crazy because it just wasn't well known. You know, it was before there was even a paid service for online dating.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right?
So
that was a while ago. But anyways, from online dating, I met this guy and we went out to dinner.
Okay.
And, you know, I just personally was not feeling it, you know, nothing against the person in any way. But, you know, he then asked, hey, after dinner, would you like to go out dancing? And I kindly, you know, refused and just say, you know what, you know, thanks so much for the dinner, you know, but I don't think I'm interested. Pretty much don't care to carry on the night. Mm-hmm. I'd rather go home. So anyways, that was that. I was beyond, you know, polite, you know, thankful, you know, a million times I said, thank you so much for the dinner, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, I go home, wake up the next morning, and in my email inbox, there is this page-long email from this gentleman and pretty much telling me how horrible of a person I was, how ungrateful I was. I mean, it was so sad that he felt that way.
Nice.
When I know that I told him a million times, you know, thank you so much, you know, just wasn't going to lead him on in any way when I wasn't feeling it. But I would have to say that was probably...
Sounds like you made the right choice.
Right.
Based on that response.
He might have been a little crazy, you know, to follow up, you know, from our date with a story of an email. But yeah, I would say that would have to be the worst date I've ever been on. And of course, I would not call any names out or anything, but
the adventures of online dating, not currently, but in the past.
There can be some great ones and there can be some very bad ones as well.
Probably
and,
even today, it's still true.
Of course. Yeah. Same as, you know, a blind date or just any type
of basically
date
all
you go
are
on.
Blind dates. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you never know, you know, what type of conversations you have or what you'll run into. But yeah, I was kind of appalled and I didn't know what to think. Of course, I didn't even. Actually, you know, I take the bat. I did respond, and I think I just made a quick sentence or two, just a response of, you know, it's unfortunate you feel this way. You know, I thanked you more than once, you know, and unfortunately it didn't work out.
Yeah.
So that was that. But yeah, everything happens for a reason, and I'm happy I left when I did.
There's a good reason you didn't end up with that one. Right.
Right. Okay. Exactly.
Too funny. Well, thank you for sharing that story with us. And the worst date Angie Cole's been ever on, period. Luckily, not your husband. So that's good. He has clean marks. And so that's good to know. All right. There's more coming up on today's show. Stay right there. This is the Savvy Realtor with Angie Cole, helping you learn all the ins and outs when it comes to buying or selling a home in the Triangle. Let's get back to the conversation coming up in just a moment.
In the age of Trulia, Zillow, and the hundreds of other realty websites, it's hard to know where to begin when buying or selling your home. Keep listening to The Savvy Realtor to learn how to cut through the online clutter.
This is The Savvy Realtor with Angie Cole, your Savvy Realtor here on the program, of course. She's the owner and broker in charge of A. Cole Realty, serving you in the Triangle and beyond. If you're in Raleigh or any of the surrounding areas, this is the number to call or text to reach out to Angie and ask her your questions about buying or selling a home here in the Triangle, 919-538-6477. Again, that's 919-538-6477. Last week on the show, we broke down some important terms related to the buying and selling process, and we didn't get to all the ones that we had on our list, so hello to part two of Terms to Know. And we actually do this every couple of months, so this might be part six or seven by this point, Angie, but in any event, it's the second week in a row we're talking about important terms to know about real estate. And so one I wanted to pose to you is the fair market value. I can kind of guess what that means, but I mean, what are we really talking about here in terms of real estate? What's fair market value? How is it determined, and why would it be important to know?
Yeah, so fair market value is really, you know, what the buyers feel like the homes are worth and what the seller is willing to sell it for. Mm-hmm. You know, would really make up what fair market value is, which is very similar to a CMA, you know, the competitive market analysis, which both myself or an appraiser would complete. So, you know, it's where should the home be listed? Where will it sell? And once again, it really boils down, and what tells us what the market values are is what a seller's willing to pay or sell their home for and what a buyer is willing to pay. When it comes to pulling this number, and when we really get specific with a CMA, you know, we always look at similar age, similar style, similar square footage, and then we stay in the area of where our subject property is located.
Okay. And so if I see, where might we stumble across the term fair market value? And if I'm a buyer or a seller, and when might I casually come across it?
Yeah. I mean, that common thing called Zestimate on Zillow, mm-hmm. you know, that might be a place you would stumble upon. But, you know, I'll be honest with you, I've seen Zestimate be exact. I've seen it be really low, really above. They currently have our personal home listed as a duplex, even though we live in a single family. Mm-hmm. So that shows you how accurate, you know, those items are.
Right.
But yes, when you're just doing a search, if you put your property address into the internet, into Google, or a home you're interested in, a million websites will pop up. Each of those will have a different value, I can bet you. It's not going to be the same, but that's what the algorithms and that site is saying the fair market value is. But also, you know, when it comes to fair market value, whenever we're making an offer on a home,
right.
you know, we need some supporting comparables to justify why we're coming in at a number. I actually have one of my buyer specialists who is messaging me at the moment, but I can't respond to her. She's in the works of making an offer on a particular home, which is really overpriced. And I know this because we spoke about it yesterday. And she's trying to figure out how do my clients want this home, but how do I approach it? You know, of course, without insulting the agent or the seller, but it's pretty much about $30,000 over.
Interesting.
Yeah. And just based on other comparables, you know, so how do we approach this offer? But yeah, that's when fair market value comes into play, is what is the worth and what is home, you know, really worth when it comes to making an offer and going under contract.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense. And so again, that's the fair market value, and it will not always match the sale price. They don't have to be linked by any means.
That's a great tip to bring up, because for example, you know, especially in this market right now where we're in a seller's market, even though the fair market value might tell us, oh, this home should sell at 250, well, you know, what the actual sales price might actually be, who knows, you know, 260. And it's because we have multiple offers.
Competition can change the fair market value.
Of course, you know, and it's one of those situations we're in, and it is what it is. Hopefully values continue just to go up. But there might not be a lot to justify as far as recent and past sales to justify our fair market value or what our actually our sales price will be.
That's a great point. And again, that's fair market value. Good term to know and kind of understand, especially that extra level that it's not always going to mean that's what the home is going to sell for or that you'll be able to buy it for. What about settlement statement? Where would I encounter that term in the process and what's important about it?
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, the word settlement statement, I came up with three other terms for settlement okay. statement, and there's probably a lot more out there, but you might hear it as the HUD. Also commonly known as an ALTA or a CD, a closing disclosure. I've heard it many, many different ways, but they're all kind of one and the same. You know, a settlement statement pretty much will give us the break or does give us the breakdown of both debits and credits to both seller and buyer. So in one column, there's buyer's debits, credits. In the other column, we have our seller's debits and credits. And so the whole point of that is to see, for example, on the buy side, you know, a credit would be the loan.
Right.
A debit would be the purchase amount. To the seller, it's the opposite. You know, the credit amount will be the purchase price, but then the debit amount would be, for example, if they have a loan payoff. And then you see other items on the settlement statement. You know, for the buyer, you're going to see lender fees if they're getting financing. Mm-hmm. You'll see, you know, prorations for escrows maybe. Also, their attorney fees, any type of prorated taxes, that sort of thing. Maybe their inspections are on there. On the seller side, we'll see items like commissions. You know, in North Carolina, it's understood that seller pays total commissions. So you'll see the commissions. You'll see their tax revenue stamps. You'll see any type of prorated taxes for them as well. So it really is just a breakdown because whenever we go to the closing table, it's up to the attorney to make sure all funds are received from all parties, and then they will disperse and pay off anything that needs to be paid off, and then we have clear and clean title at that point.
Gotcha.
And so a settlement statement, you typically will not see that until the day of closing or maybe a couple of days prior. And at that point, either your lender or your realtor should go over your settlement statement with you, make sure everything looks great, because when you go to the closing table, you know, you will sign off that you agree. For example, with a buyer, if you need to bring money to the tables, you need to know, you know, hey, we need to wire this amount or bring a certified mm-hmm. check for this amount as well.
Ultimately, I think it's probably a sign of a good realtor if you get through the process of buying your home and 6 months later, you can't really remember what a settlement statement is, because that means everything probably went really smoothly and it was just you signing paperwork.
Right, right. No, very true. And, you know, it's also, you know, my job to make sure that they understand that process up front.
Right.
For example, when I go on a listing appointment, I go over a net proceeds sheet for my sellers. And that is exactly the fees that they will see on their settlement statement.
It's kind of like a pre-settlement statement almost.
In a sense, we can call it that. But it's any seller that's selling their home needs to understand, okay, what can I sell my home for? And at this amount, what will I truly net after
right.
everything is paid off? And also for a buyer, most lenders will give you what's called a GFE or a good faith estimate, which is a great thing to have, which is very mm-hmm. important, again, because you want to understand up front, all right, based on this price and, you know, where this home is located, I will need to bring this amount of money to the closing table as a down payment or to pay for my closing costs.
Mm-hmm.
It will also tell you your interest rate and what your actual closing cost, the amount would be, and mortgage payment as well. So settlement statement is in the end when it's time to go to closing, you know, and it's a great piece of information. Remember to keep it and send it to your CPA, because your taxes, any taxes you're paying whenever you're paying a mm-hmm. mortgage, you know, you do get those tax deductions there as well.
Very cool.
And so if you are thinking about buying or selling a home, you know, and you want to understand the process from the very beginning when we start the conversation talking about buying or selling a home, you know, through and after the closing when you've already signed the settlement statement, you know, a great way to get started is you can text the word contract to the phone number 555-888. And from there, you will be able to download the home buying process. And we say home buying, but it can be home buying or home selling. It's just great to understand all the terminology and all of the steps of the process from start to finish. So once again, to receive the home buying guide, just text the word contract to the phone number 555-888.
Again, it's the word contract. Put that in the message field and just send it to the number 555-888. And you can just click on the link that we'll send right back to to you, and you can see that home buying guide, learn about the process, whether you're a buyer or a seller. It's helpful to get a review of kind of beginning to end all the things that you can have. It's all about expectations, getting the right expectations up front, and then nothing's a surprise in the rest of the process. You're able to kind of handle the little turns as they come, and you're ready and able to handle those things. Again, just text the word contract to the number 555-888, and you'll be able to get that buying guide right there on your phone. Just click on the link, and then if you even want to download it and save it to your phone, there's an option there on that page where you'll be able to do that. Pretty cool. All you have to do is text the word contract to the number 555-888. We're talking about terms to know when it comes to buying or selling a home. And Angie, the last one I'll bring up on this week's show is a part of the process that I remember actually being really stressful, because it was closing day. You're already, you know, kind of nervous about having to, you know, go sign all the paperwork, and you're finally pulling the big trigger. I mean, the whole process, you're pulling little triggers along the way, right? But now you're going to pull the big trigger and really purchase the home for real. But you do this thing called the walkthrough on the final day. And basically, what, you're just walking through the house? But I just remember it being a very stressful thing of like, I'm pretty much already buying it.
This is really happening.
What am I really looking for now? And
right.
What if there's something wrong on the morning of the home purchase? What happens? What about the walkthrough process do we need to know?
Yeah, and so typically buyers will do their walkthrough either the evening before or morning of closing. Mm-hmm. And the whole purpose of the walkthrough is to make sure that the home is still in the same condition as what you originally saw it.
Right.
So at that point, I always would suggest wait until the sellers have 100% moved out, just to make sure there's no major dings on the walls or, you know, bumps or whatnot mm-hmm. from moving out. Maybe it was on an accident, but still, once you close on the home, you're taking on that home.
Right.
You know, it's up to you, you know, if there is now a hole in the wall because a couch hit it, okay? Mm-hmm.
That was a big worry of ours because we were doing the whole rent back thing. So the sellers had 4 days to then move out afterward, and I was very nervous about what might happen during those 4 days.
Right, and of course, at that point, too, you should still do a walkthrough before they have 100%, you know, handed over the keys.
Right.
You know, but yeah, a walkthrough right before closing is a great time to just, you know, visually do your investigation to make sure that the home still looks the same way it should. Also, if you have had any repairs agreed to, you know, you should have now your invoices in hand. You should print off your, you know, what we call a DDRA, a due diligence repair agreement, and walk through the home and make sure the items were mm-hmm. fixed. You know, if it's something electrical, of course, that's what the receipts or invoices are for. But, you know, if there's something, I don't know, more simple, like, oh, there's a leaky faucet,
go and
test it.
We had a leaky kitchen sink
that
had kind of gotten and rotted out the floorboards
uh-huh.
underneath. They'd replaced the floorboards, and they said that they had a plumber out, but hadn't been fixed. When we went through the walkthrough, it was still leaking.
Yeah, but see, that's why we do our walkthroughs. Yeah. You know, you should have a receipt of the work completed, so that kind of falls back on the contractor too, because
right.
if the poor seller paid the contractor to do their job and they didn't, they mm-hmm. need to be reaching out to their contractor. But yeah, it's just to confirm that all of the items that were agreed upon during due diligence is now fixed and complete. And, you know, we have that walkthrough, but there's also other walkthroughs, I would say. You know, when you're first viewing the home, you have a walkthrough
right.
there. During inspections, you know, it's up to you if you want to be there at the time of the inspection. You might do another walkthrough. A lot of times people might do the measuring of blinds or just furniture at that time too. Also, if we have new builds, you know, in new builds, there's several of walkthroughs throughout the process. For example, you have, you know, you go to a design appointment, but then you have a pre-construction meeting where you might do a kind of a walkthrough of the land and
okay.
the lot. You then have a pre-drywall walkthrough, and that's before all the drywall goes up. It's easier to move around electrical and plumbing before drywall goes up, and you can, of course, see what's in the walls before the drywall goes up.
Right.
And then again, you have your orientation kind of walkthrough where the builder is going to orientate you on your home. And also, they talk about like a punch list and blue taping.
Sure.
That's the time to do it then. And then a final walkthrough right before you go to closing, just like with a resale, to make sure that everything was agreed to has been completed. So there can be a lot of different types of walkthroughs. But yeah, the most commonly known walkthrough would be kind of the final sign-off before we go to closing.
Yep, that's helpful. And I guess one last question here would be, you do find something wrong. Are you able to renegotiate, you know, kind of right there and say, hey, something's not right? and then find ways to make it right? I mean, how does that happen if you do find a repair that wasn't fixed, or there's been a big hole put in the, you know, walls during the move out process?
Sure.
Have you run into that before?
Yeah, we have. I've had, for example, when someone took down their flat screen TV, all of a sudden there was a completely different color paint behind the flat screen.
Oops.
You know, and it wasn't, you know, on purpose. It's just, of course, when they were painting, they didn't take it down to paint. You know, so then we've had, you know, a buyer come back to us and say, hey, there's this big spot. Instead of repainting, give us like, you know, $250 in lieu of, or, you know, maybe on the agreement as far as due diligence goes, an item wasn't done. You know, buyer can come back and say, hey, I'm not signing the dotted line until you fix this item and you give us receipt and proof that it's done. Both buyer and seller, they do have a 14-day grace period per North Carolina contract with, in good faith and time being of the essence, they can delay closing if they want.
To resolve an issue that pops up.
Yeah, and so, you know, things
Neither side wants that, obviously.
No, of course not. And, you know, and I've seen before where new items have come up, you know, and it's one of those things out of the seller's control, but all of a sudden we now have this major leak. It's an issue. Of course, you know, I wouldn't suggest for a buyer to continue on with closing knowing there's this major issue. And, you know, although it's a surprise to both parties, you know, it probably needs to be remedied before we sign the dotted line. And now buyer is the true owner of the home. So, yeah, if there's items that were agreed to that are not completed, buyer has the option and can delay closing and they can question you and, you know, not make you get it fixed because that's up to you as far as the seller. But at that point, you're kind of in, you know, a little bit of a breach of contract at the point because you signed that you would agree to have those items fixed.
Well, Angie, those are all helpful tips, most certainly. And that's a good opportunity for me to remind you if you'd like to get tips each and every week about buying and selling a home here in the Triangle. It's very easy to do so. You don't have to always catch our radio show to be able to hear the great information that Angie has available and to learn more about the process. You can actually get tips delivered right to your smartphone once a week. We don't hassle you more often than that. Every Wednesday, we send out a tip of the week about real estate here in the Triangle. And if you'd like to subscribe to that service, to that tip of the week, you can do it right from your smartphone by texting the word SMART to the number 555-888. Again, the number is 555-888, and the word that you put in the message field is SMART. And then just click send. You'll actually get your first tip right off the bat, and then every Wednesday you'll continue to get new and updated tip of the weeks. And we cover lots of different topics, and we even feature questions that we might get here on the radio show and put a different spin on them. The pieces of advice are pretty short. They're not long enough to be a blog post if you want to think about it that way, but they're longer than a tweet, somewhere in between. So it only takes you a moment out of your day to read the tip and just be reminded of some of the ways you can, you know, better go through that home buying or selling process. All you have to do is text the word SMART to the number 555-888, and you'll be signed up automatically for the tip of the week. Again, just text the word SMART to 555-888. Stay right there. More coming up on today's edition of The Savvy Realtor with Angie Cole, the listing of the week, the mortgage moment still to come.
It's time for our listing of the week from A. Cole Realty right here on The Savvy Realtor.
This is the part of the show where we feature a great home that's for sale in the Triangle. Angie Cole will give us all the details, your owner and broker in charge of A. Cole Realty here on The Savvy Realtor. And Angie, what's this week's listing?
So this week's listing of the week is located in Durham. It's actually over just in walking distance of Duke Forest, Nasher Museum of Art, and Duke University.
Nice.
So it is prime location in Durham. And the address is 1020 Anderson Street in Durham, 27705. And we are listing the home at $700,000. And so a little bit about the home. So it is approximately 3422 square feet. It also has additional unfinished space in the above grade area and in a basement of 1342 square feet. And a little bit more about this home. So it's a one-story living, so a ranch floor plan, very open, has been 100% remodeled. So we have a remodeled eat-in kitchen with island, with stainless steel appliances, pendant and under cabinet lighting, a huge butler's pantry, which is to die for. We have soft closed drawers and pull-out cabinets, subway tile backsplash, and lots of natural light. We have an office, study with bookcases, and a gas-logged fireplace.
I have to interrupt you, Angie. We talked about home offices earlier in the show.
Yeah.
This is an office.
That's a true office. It's humongous.
There's
right?
a fireplace in the office,
it's,
okay?
Yeah, it's nice.
It's awesome.
Just to say the least. It's really nice. Huge living room with a wood-burning fireplace, lots of hardwoods. We also have a private guest suite, our laundry room, master with a walk-in closet. We also have two-zone baseboard heating for backup, which is super cool, even though it's all centralized now. Our master bathroom has a tile surround shower and dual vanity. Also, there's fresh water in-ground pool and pool house, garden shed, patio, and outdoor fireplace. So it is just the coolest home.
This is a cool house.
Yeah, it's one of those homes that it's, you know.
I'm sold.
Yeah, I know. It's in the middle of everything, but it's so secluded. You know, it has the acreage. It sits on almost 2 acres, so it's 1.784 acres. So it has the land, but also walking distance to just everything, you know, this day and age, all the cool stuff, main floor living, you know, 3 bedrooms, 3 full baths. It's just an awesome, awesome home. So if you would like to see the virtual tour of this home and see the interior pictures, all the lavish, you know, remodels that I just spoke of, you can text the word SAVVY, that's SAVVY, to the phone number 555-888. So once again, to receive the virtual tour of our listing of the week, which is 1020 Anderson Street in Durham, you can text the word SAVVY to the phone number 555-888. And one more thing, we are actually hosting an open house, which is going on right now, as you probably hear this, today from 12 to 2 o'clock today on Saturday. So once again, today, which is August 12th, from 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock, we are hosting an open house. So please stop on by.
Yeah, you've got a little bit more time to go ahead and sneak over there if you're driving around Durham by any chance and you're near this home at 1020 Anderson Street. You can stop by and check it out during the open house. What a cool home. That's one of the neater ones we've had lately here on the Savvy Realtor for sure. Just gorgeous. Again, that's at 1020 Anderson Street in Durham, open house until 2 o'clock today. If you don't have the chance to make the open house, but you'd like to see some pictures and find out more information about this home, you can do it right now from your smartphone by texting the word SAVVY, S-A-V-V-Y, to the number 555-888. And you'll get a link that you click on and you can view the information about this home. Just text the word SAVVY to the number 555-888. That's this week's awesome listing of the week. More coming up right here on the Savvy Realtor.
It's the Mortgage Moment here on the Savvy Realtor.
This part of the Savvy Realtor we like to call the Mortgage Moment, where we take a particularly close look at a mortgage topic each week. And we actually have a question to feature this time around from Teresa in Clayton. And Teresa says, Angie, I was reading something the other day that said your credit utilization ratio, speaking of terms that we were talking about earlier in the show, your credit utilization ratio can greatly affect your credit score and thus your mortgage interest rate. What does that ratio mean and can it be improved?
So, Teresa, I love this question because, honestly, I had to do some research. I had to go to my preferred lender, Ned Ligon, with OnQ Financial to get an answer to this because I didn't know. But we learn something new every day, right? So this means, so the credit utilization ratio, this is the ratio of your current outstanding balances on revolving accounts. That's a big keyword, on revolving accounts, which are open-ended lines of credit that you can use and pay down. For example, like credit cards, home equity line of credit, overdraft protection line of credit, etc. You don't want this number to be over 50%. And ideally, the lower it is, the better for your credit score. Okay. So that answers your question there, Teresa, in regards to, you know, can it affect my credit score? And also then the interest rate you get? 100%, because if it's affecting your credit score is lessened, then of course the interest rate that a lender can offer you probably won't be as great. So that is something to keep in mind as far as how much revolving, you know, credit or open lines of credit that you have. And so like I mentioned, I had to go to Ned Ligon on this one, but when Ned Ligon has a mortgage app that you can actually download to your phone. So if you have questions like this, you can reach out to him directly from this app. If you want to get a good feel of what you pre-qualify for, what your mortgage payments would be on a certain price point, you can do that all from this mortgage app. And so it's as easy as texting the word LENDING to the phone number 555-888 From there, quick text will be sent to you. Click the link and download the mortgage app to your smartphone. So once again, if you want to, you know, start talking about the pre-qualification, you know, ask more questions in regards to lending. I'm not a lender, I'm a real estate agent. So it is great to download the mortgage app to your smartphone, as easy as texting the word lending to the phone number 555-888.
That's why real estate agents and mortgage folks partner, right?
100%. I'm not going to, I did not know
be
your
the
answer,
expert
Teresa.
In what you're an expert in.
Exactly.
So again, if you want to download that mortgage app, which is very helpful, you can get pre-qualified from there. You can get in touch with Ned Ligon, ask a question, any of those kinds of things. All you have to do is text the word lending to the number 555-888. Again, lending. Text that to 555-888. Good question on the Mortgage Moment this week. This is the Savvy Realtor with Angie Cole.
Wolf Packers, Blue Devils, and Tar Heel fans can all agree on at least one thing. A. Cole Realty is the team to choose here in the Triangle when it comes to buying or selling a house. So let's lace up the shoes, grip the bat, and toss the pigskin back to Angie Cole on the Savvy Realtor.
Well, we're about to wrap things up here on the Savvy Realtor. Unfortunately, out of time, but another really helpful, informative show. Angie, always appreciate your guidance, breaking down these different terms that we need to know, answering our listeners' questions, all that good stuff, even sharing with us an embarrassing story about your worst date of all time. We cover it all here on the Savvy Realtor, and we'll look forward to another show next week.
Yeah, thank you so much, and thank you to all the listeners. I continuously get phone calls of people who state that they listen every single Saturday. But I know everyone's not available every single Saturday from 12 to 1. And so we like to send out our real estate tip of the week just to kind of keep you in the know, you know, keep you up to date as far as what's going on in the real estate market and what you should know before buying and selling a home. So if you would like to receive our real estate tip of the week, it's as simple as texting the word SMART to the phone number 555-888. Once again, text the word SMART to the phone number 555-888, and we will keep you up to date, and so you're in the know as far as our little tidbits of the week.
Yeah, if you want to get that tip of the week, all you have to do is text the word SMART to the number 555-888, and once a week we'll send you useful tidbits about buying and selling real estate here in the Triangle. Just text the word SMART to the number 555-888. For Angie Cole, I'm Walter Storholt. Thank you so much for joining us this week, and we'll talk to you again next time on the Savvy Realtor.